Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Welcome to 2020. I can see clearly now. How about you, Keith? Can you see me clearly?
Starting the year off with the bad puns, I guess, now, right?
Yeah. Who wrote that? That was a big hit back in the 70s. I can see clearly now.
Yeah, I don't
the
know.
The rain has gone or whatever. Yeah. Well, I would be able to see clearly if I go ahead and get my prescription on my glasses filled, which I haven't gotten done yet. But anyway, I got a prescription last year.
Well, now you got the new year of insurance, right? The new insurance calendar year to dip That's into cor- that.
That's correct. That's correct. So
man, it's been a nice holiday break.
It's been great.
Lots of exciting stuff on our horizon that we've been working on and developing, and some pretty cool stuff coming up.
Yeah. It's been kind of fun to kind of disconnect just a little bit.
Yeah.
If you will, and kind of assess what we did last year and all the great hits we had over the course of the year, the traffic that we got, the subscriptions that we got, and you know, again, thank you guys so much for all of that. So that was a very fulfilling year.
So we thought, as we were kind of closing the book on 2019, and some news stories kept surfacing, and this has kind of been an ongoing joke with us the whole time, is something will happen several months after we talk about it on the podcast, and we'll go, hey, man, that sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, well.
So we decided, what better way to start the new year and our very mm-hmm. first podcast episode of this year than a little I told you so, right?
That's it, man. You know, I don't understand where the term I hate to say that I told you so, because I really don't hate to say that I told you so. How about
there
you?
There is nothing that makes you feel better than a little I told you so. So I've prepared, I got a sound drop just for this episode. You ready?
I'm ready.
I told you. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Because I told you. Mm-hmm. And when did I tell you? A long time ago. And what did I say will happen when I told you? Exactly what just happened.
All right, so there you go. So
right,
we've got
awesome.
A whole bunch of stuff to I told you so. And this is kind of cool because it kind of goes into kind of what we predicted and what actually happened, and kind of brings that news story back into the spotlight. So you put a list together, went back
and
listened to a bunch of our old podcasts.
I did.
Lucky you.
Yeah, well, actually, I was rather impressed with how in-depth we were with some of the discussions on some of these items. And you know, and folks, I highly encourage you to go back and listen to some of these episodes, because there's a lot of information in there. You're going to go, oh, wow, they were right. You know, and, you know, it feels good to be able to be on the cutting edge of information and, you know, giving you accurate information. And I don't have a crystal ball, but, you know, sometimes I think I do.
It just feels good to say I told you so.
It just feels good to say I told you so. That's
so
right.
So what's our first I told you so?
Well, you know, we spent a lot of last year, and we will continue to spend a lot of time on EVs, electric vehicles.
Those are the ones you plug in?
Yeah, those ones that, you know, require a cord to plug in, you know, somewhere.
Nobody's buying those.
Nobody's buying those at all. Nobody's buying those at all. And as a matter of fact, you know, before we get into talking about, you know, we told you so on this particular one, just a little piece of news.
Oh, wait, I don't know.
Live. Yes, partscounterguru.com news. We're on top of it. So anyway, Volkswagen, they, I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but, you know, December, that was the last time that they were going to be rolling out the old Beetle. They had a big to-do about it. There was a commercial It was a really neat commercial that they played during some of the playoff games and some of the New Year's Eve celebrations, stuff like that. You know, maybe we can put a link up on that for you guys to go check it out. It's pretty cool, actually. But anyway, on to VW. They just announced that they are going to hit the 1 million vehicle mark. And when I say vehicle, electric vehicle mark, produced about 2 years before they had initially planned.
Right, because nobody's buying those.
Because nobody's buying those. Now, there
now
is a little
worldwide,
bit...
worldwide, right?
That's worldwide.
Yeah. They're, it's just now, those crazy Europeans.
Yeah, yeah. They don't know what they're doing over there, man, I tell you, you know. They just don't, anyway. But, so there's a little piece of news to tie into the EV market, but, you know, one of the things that we talked about heavily was what Ford was doing behind the scenes. You know, they invested a lot of money into EV startup out of Spokane, Washington, better known as Rivian, which we'll get into some discussions on those guys as well. But the rumor was that Ford was going to be coming down with an all-electric version of the Ford Mustang. And guess what, folks? We told you so. It came out, and if you missed the reveal, you need to go and check it out. It's an incredible vehicle. It was released in November the 17th of 2019. And if you go back and listen to episode 30, which one was it? Let's see, episode...
What was didn't we do a Mach-E Quickie?
We did a Mach-E Quickie. But in episode 12, we spoke of
the
Ford Mach-E, yeah. And it was and it's a really good podcast too, because we also talk about home automation in this same podcast. So
that was, I think, 6 or 8 months before the vehicle actually came out.
That's the point I'm trying to make, and were kind of in the know on some of that information.
You remember the movie Smokey and the Bandit?
I do.
You know what my favorite line from that movie is?
I've got a few, man, but go ahead.
I hate to say I told you so.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Is that
that's Bert.
Bandit? Is that the Bandit himself?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the Bandit, man. Great movie. It's worth watching over and over again. So there you have it, guys. We spoke of it heavily during that particular podcast, and we kind of touched on it as information became available to Keith and I. We did a lot of research over those months. And lo and behold, the reveal came, the Mustang came out, and what we can tell you that it was met with a lot of controversy, but I think Ford did it the right way. You know? What do you think on that, Keith? Your thoughts on that? Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
You know? I need to see one, touch one, drive one, possibly. You know, let's the big controversial point of that vehicle isn't that Ford did it, it's that they put the Mustang brand on it.
Right.
And there's a lot of things that make sense about that, because it appears to be plenty fast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll see. So you know that I'm not a fan of calling things an SUV that are a car with a hatchback, right?
That was
like
a big
Tesla Model X is doing.
That was a big sticking point for you, I think, that whole reveal.
So that's the part of it that I'm like, but you know what? Maybe are you offended that there is an SUV label on your precious Mustang, or are you offended that it's not? I mean, so because if it's just that letter SUV, if you look at it, it really doesn't look like an SUV.
Right.
As compared to like the Fisker Ocean, which just came out at CES, which there's an article on our website about. But that looks like an SUV. And it's got solar panels, the roof, and all that. So, yeah. So, go ahead.
I was just going to say the Mustang Mach-E, as it was revealed, to me appeared more of a crossover type vehicle, not really like a sport utility vehicle, more of a crossover I mean, it's a four-door vehicle, man, you know, yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, but either
what,
way.
What I have, you know, even as we continue to do the research on this particular model of vehicle, there has been speculation that Ford will badge a all-electric Mustang coupe that will look more like the Mustang.
Probably. And, I mean, because they'll get better performance specs out of that vehicle being an electric vehicle mm-hmm. than they would a gasoline. I mean, we're there. Yeah. You know, a Tesla Model 3 will out-accelerate a Ford Mustang today.
Sure.
So you're, yeah. Look, I'm not talking about the, you know, Shelby GT500KR or the saline conversion or you can go do all that, but just a base model, or if you want to go mid-level Tesla Model 3 versus a Mustang GT, it'll mm-hmm. out-accelerate it. So,
that's right.
While we're on the subject of Mustangs and news, there's mm-hmm. one other item that I saw in our list that we talked about. Now, this is the famous, this is the Mustang in the movie that made Mustangs cool, and that was the Steve McQueen Bullitt Mustang. We talked about that going up for auction, mm-hmm. and it says here that we talked about that in episode 31, part 1. Which, what is that, the release date of August 30th, 2019?
Yep, okay. It was released August 30, yeah.
So that auction happens in, well, by the time this podcast gets out, it will have already happened, but it happens on January 10th. The reason this is a big deal is twofold. Number one, that car was so iconic, but the actual Mustang being auctioned is almost completely original. It's almost all there. That's
and
a big deal.
As we reported, it was kind of hidden for a long time.
Kind of a barn find, right?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Which is another term that we kind of taught everybody on the podcast. Now, the other reason it's a big deal is because it could potentially become one of the largest auctioned off movie cars ever in terms of how much it goes for an auction.
Right. Right. And, you know, with Ford, you know, doing a lot of the things they're doing, I think it may help this thing even climb even further, give more value to this thing, you know, because of what it is. I mean, it's a great automobile, man. It's just a great car.
They're
so
just
iconic.
Gonna keep talking Mustangs until people buy one, right?
That's right.
And
that's
then
it.
They're gonna pull the here we've got five versions for you to choose from now.
So as a little bit of a tease to this, I really haven't put much thought into
the value. Oh, wait, you want to tease something? Hang on. Okay, go ahead.
So, do you have any idea or any thoughts what this thing might go for?
Oh, man. Well, not being a frequent buyer of vintage automobiles at auction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't hang out with the Grey Poupon crowd, so
right. Well, we'll find out, but I
gotta say, I mean,
it's the Bullitt, man.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars, easily.
I mean, it's the Bullitt. I mean, it's such an iconic car.
Is it gonna be in the millions? You think it'll get to 2 or 3 million?
I don't know if it'll get to a few million, but it may get to a million and just over, you know? I mean, there's been guitars, you know, out there that have gone. I mean, like Dave Gilmour's guitars and, you know, I mean, it even surprised him at how much some of his guitars went for. So,
yeah.
I mean, look, here's what I was told one time, and I'll say this to anybody out there. You know, I've owned classic vehicles that were restored and, you know, and I own a classic motorcycle right now, you know, and to me, it's worth a ton of money. To me, it is. But a classic vehicle like this is really kind of only worth what someone is willing to pay.
Well,
so
that's true of the stock market, too. It's what public opinion says it's worth.
That's it.
Right.
That's it. So, you know, I would be surprised that it's not close to a million or in the upper hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, I've $1 million.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see.
So we'll see what happens. So stay tuned, folks, and we'll we'll certainly follow up with that.
If you want to follow us on social media, we will post the auction results of that.
Oh, that's
and
right.
You can find us at facebook.com/... Is it
Parts?
Parts Counter Gurus.
Parts Counter Gurus. Yeah, that's
and
it.
And then Instagram/TheParts Counter Gurus.
That is correct.
There you go.
Yeah, so we'll post it up. Just keep your eye out on it, and we'll also mention it on our on a follow up podcast or a quick podcast that we do or something like that. So anyway, yeah, that's a good one, man. I'm really excited about that, man, because I know we talked about that, you know, many months ago. So,
all right, now in that same podcast episode was actually a two-parter, episode 31.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We talked about something else, and this kind of so that was the I Hate My Job, if I'm not mistaken, right?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
And this whole you know, sort of mindset that we have, particularly, I guess, in America, although I don't know that it's uniquely American, where people just show up for a paycheck and kind of just hate their job. So we went into a particular, I don't think we wanted to say specifically where it was at the time.
No.
Or name the restaurant. But we talked about kind of work at the, so the whole topic of that podcast was work ethic, right?
Exactly.
And, you know, like, what's good work ethic? Why there's so much bad work ethic? I had my tires rotated at a tire shop over the break, and the guy took his impact wrench and ran it right down the side of my TRD custom wheels and scratched them all up, and then just put it back on the car and sent me on my way and didn't say anything about it. And I like, dude, what's this? You know,
right.
Yeah. Work ethic, most, right.
Most people don't pay attention to those things, or they don't catch it. You know, Keith, you're a lot like I am in that regard. When I get my car back, It's like I've put my wife in the shop or something, you know. I mean, it means that much to me, man. I mean, it's you know.
Yeah, look, Grandpa Keith was not walking around the car to make sure Junior didn't jack something up. Literally, all I was doing was I have a full size spare that hangs on the back of my FJ, so I've got 5 tires, not 10, 5, and I want to make sure that I'm rotating that 5th tire in and one of the other 4 out, because I get a longer life expectancy by doing it that way. And you have a full size spare, why not? Right? Like, do it. Okay.
Just do it.
I was literally just looking to make sure that that the spare that was on the back door when I brought it in was not the same tire hanging there when I drove off. And I happened to just walk up and go, wow, that's nice.
You know, they have chalk for that. You know, you can chalk those tires before you take them in, you know. And,
well, I had a way of telling.
Some people do that, by the way. I mean, I'm not that, you know.
I'm
going to check these guys, man. They got me last time, man.
I totally giving them the benefit of the doubt. I was just trying to make sure that, because that's the kind of thing you can easily overlook. You know, they just didn't, like, some people don't want that done. And so I wasn't going to, like, hold them. Like, I would have just gone back and gone, hey, can you just switch these two back again, and then I saw the whammy. So, back to work ethic, or on the topic of work ethic, and this rest. Do you want to have the honor of this? Is a restaurant that we've both gone to together.
We've had meals there. I think you guys enjoyed it when you were
really
there.
Really cool place. One of the coolest parts about this restaurant was the location, because it sat on a runway at an airport
on the flight line, and there with working. Propeller, you know, prop planes, and you've had jets, you know, twin engine jets coming in and out of there. So it's a regional airport, which you can have some rather large aircraft come in. Yeah. It's capable of that, and they also
have helicopters flying around. Yeah. And
that war museum over there that's separate from that. That
you can sit out back on. They have an outdoor patio. You can watch the planes take off and land.
Have a beer while you're watching. It's a great place to, you know, it's kid friendly, and
very
the kids
few places
love it.
Left in the world where you can do that kind of stuff at an actual airport nowadays.
That's right. And so, you know, the bottom line, my wife and I really enjoyed over the years going to this place, and the food really was good. And like I said in the podcast, I just kind of noticed over periods of time, they were starting to run out of, you know, food. Matter of fact, the day that you and I had, you and the family had dinner with us or lunch with us, they were out of what I really wanted to have. And that was the second time that occurred to me. And then it was the particular day that I went in and, you know, we talked about the first thing out of the server's mouth was, hey, we closed in 4 to 5 minutes.
So, you know, did we, during the
we nailed it.
Part two of the episode, did we say, did we put any kind of a timeline? Was there a wager there? Was it like, hey, I think they've got 6 months?
I think I said in the podcast somewhere that I'm not going to give them very much time because I've seen this before, and we both agreed that we would come back and revisit this thing in maybe 6 to 8 months. And you brought up the fact that they had a number of reviews on Yelp. They had 199 views, and they were getting 4.5 out of 5 stars. And we argued the point that, you know, that could be old information. You know,
okay,
over years of collecting that data.
So here, so I'm going to pull up. Let me see if I can pull up the review info now. And so should I use Google reviews or should I go to Yelp?
You could try both. Try. It's probably going to be, I mean, everybody uses Yelp. I say everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people use Yelp. I mean,
so let's go to Yelp first.
Yeah, let's see what's happening.
Okay. And do you want to mention who this is?
Yes, I don't have a problem with that. I mean,
First, give me this. What's the city or town?
Burlington.
Okay.
And they have another location.
Oh, they do. I didn't know
that. Yeah, they have another location that does well, but I think it does well just because of where it's at.
Is it also on a runway?
No, nope. But it is very close to the Naval Air Station.
Okay, so this is interesting. So I'm looking at both of those locations on Yelp.
Mm-hmm.
The one that closed is rated higher, but it only has 36 reviews. The one that's still open, so it's 4 out of 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
The one that's still open has 3.5 out of 5 stars with 298 reviews.
Right. Here's what I can say about that. It's privately owned. The name of the restaurant is Flyers, and I'm going to plug them and tell
them.
Why would they call it
Flyers?
Well, I mean, it's. I mean, think about it. I mean, and again, it's the other one is located near, you know, the Naval Air Station that we're close to, so it makes a lot of sense. But look, they have a good product. They have great beer. They brew beer. It's a brewery and restaurant as well. But I just continue to notice the demise of that location, and it was quite obvious that there were some underlying issues. And I said that, you know, I'd be surprised if they're open too much longer. You just can't operate that way. And,
right.
You know, I think I'd made a point to bring up that, you know, when I walk in the door, don't wear your emotions on your sleeves. I'm a customer. I'm a paying customer. And if you're not happy to be there, then, you know, go get another job somewhere.
So,
but
go ahead.
They cited for lack of business there that it was just not performing well. I'm going to go out on record here and say I don't think it was performing well because, you know, maybe that was part of the equation. But honestly, man, I mean, why would you go there? I mean, you're surrounded by a number of other breweries that are packed all the time. You're within walking distance of each other. They're performing well. So, and they're only selling one thing, beer.
Yeah, Chuckanuts right there. So it's still holding, it's showing permanently closed on Google.
Yeah, 4.4
out of 5 stars. So still a really high rated restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
223 reviews on that one.
Mm-hmm. So what I do find that interesting that the other location that remains open
has worse reviews.
Worse reviews. That's surprising to me.
I can't, but, for some reason, Google is not letting me read all of the reviews, and it might be because it's showing it as permanently closed.
Yeah, could be. Could be. So yeah. Check this out. I just want to add to this and pile on as much as I can. They were slated.
I told you so.
Oh wait, that wasn't where you were going. Okay, sorry.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, I cited some of the management style and some of the staff as being part of the equation to that, to lack of business. But we decided, the wife and I decided, you know, let's go one more time for old time's sake, have a beer on the runway before they close. And this was like, I think, 2 days before the final day. We went by there and they were closed. They were advertising they were open, but they were actually closed.
Sod.
Yeah, so I think they actually closed the doors before they even said they were closing the doors. So anyway, I told you so. That's it.
So are you a fan of the Barnstormer Brown beer? Could I possibly have found one of your reviews on Yelp? Is this you?
No.
This guy hated it. He said, this was in July. Visited here twice in the last 3 weeks. Beer selection has changed and there is no Barnstormer Brown. Very disappointing since this is a favorite of mine. It was replaced by another brew that does not compare. Plus, today it was warm. Drank the beer and left. Why would it not have your own beer selections all the time? Visiting or rotating taps are common everywhere. You sure this wasn't you?
I'm absolutely positive.
Okay.
And so, but you know, there may be other underlying issues. I'll keep you posted on the other location, see what happens there as well. You know, but these guys are closed, and
we'll
I figured that was going
to
happen.
One of our waitresses seemed to be under the influence the whole time we were there, continuously slurring her words, not walking straight, and was completely out of it. We ordered a Caesar salad, got the salad, and tasted like it was just washed, soaking wet with parts of Parmesan cheese. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So, okay. What's our next,
Let's bring this thing back around, man, for you, because this is going to be your topic, and we can also tap into, you know, a little bit of the news of what's going on out there, and plus we'll talk about a product that you can buy. Episode 17, we talked about it, which is the internet, and we talked about the growing Wi-Fi trends and routers and where we were headed with 5G, and then Wi-Fi 6. We were talking about it back then. And you brought up something because I've been experiencing some issues with an old router that I have. And Keith's very knowledgeable in that area and explained to me why that's happening. And I get it. And as we become more and more dependent on all these devices that we have in our home, it requires the highway, the information highway, to be able to get that to each device. And there's, folks, there's 30 to 50 devices in homes these days. So
if you have a family of four or five, probably more than that, if you think about it. Because, like, how many TVs do you have smart? Like, do you have a smart TV? Do you have a Apple TV? Do you have a Roku, Amazon thingy? Do you have any of the home hubs like the Amazon Echo or the Apple HomePod or the Google Google Nest stuff? And then you got thermostats and you got smart cameras and see, you people were just thinking cell phones and iPads. I know it. And you didn't think about all those other. Those are all endpoints on your Wi-Fi network.
Right.
So So it's easily 50.
Oh, absolutely. And what I thought it was interesting to me, and it was funny, and folks, there's no rehearsing here. Keith just plugged in some items that he wanted to talk about, and then I had recalled having this same conversation with him on this particular episode about the mesh networks and how people are automating their entire homes, the artificial intelligence that goes along with that, and what the requirements are going to be able to do this. And how the availability is going to be coming down. So here we are. We told you about this.
So this is the extent of my rehearsing right here.
I told you. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Because I told you. Mm-hmm. And when did I tell you? A long time ago. And what did I say will happen when I told you? Exactly what just happened.
So Jay has, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with this wireless base station, and it's a router, the Apple Airport with the time capsule in it for backing up to Time Machine.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is when that was designed, and this is kind of like cars, you know, those things go into the design phase sometimes years before they actually go into production.
That's right.
And it will do wireless in, which is a speed and frequency of networking. But that thing was designed in a time before HomePods, before Amazon Alexa Echo, before... Mm-hmm. Before 4K streaming, you know, that requires fat amounts of bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing wrong with it, but it's sort of like a two-lane road was built in front of your neighborhood, and now all of a sudden there's 12 more neighborhoods that were just built on that same road, and you've got traffic problems. So... enter Wi-Fi 6. Now, Wi-Fi 6 was not a standardized term when we did the podcast on the internet, which Jay says was episode 17. I'll take your word for that. but the concept of what they're doing was very much there, and that is that they are using an extra lane of traffic, in layman's terms, mm-hmm. a third lane of traffic where these devices can talk to each other without going out to the internet. So that's the right. Wi-Fi 6 is the standard now. It's being called that. There's a lot of stuff that just surfaced, that just hit the market, you know, in the past 30 days that are great routers for Wi-Fi 6. If you are having issues with speed at your house and the mm-hmm. cable company or the ISP or whoever you're getting your internet service with says, hey, you're guaranteed to have, you know, 75 megs of down and you're only getting 20, and they're swearing it's not their problem, you might want to look into a new router. Let's do this, Jay. Let's put a link to a couple good Wi-Fi 6 routers on this mentioned on the podcast episode.
And let me pile on that, because you and I had this conversation. I've been having a little latency issues through some of our meetings and through some of our tapings. We manage it, but... I did some testing on my own to confirm that it's definitely my router. It's not my equipment. It's not my IP. It's my internet provider. It is my router, because my own personal testing, I lined in directly to my modem, and I was probably getting 120, 130 down. Speeds.
I'd say I told you so.
And then hitting my router, testing it in the same room, I dropped a little. But then when I moved back to my studio where I'm at right now, it's like completely cut in half. And here's why. I live in a condominium.
Yeah, that's the other factor that nobody's talking about, is that you're competing with a limited number of frequencies that can be used in all these older routers. And the analogy I always use is, if you're old enough to remember like the first or second generation of cordless phones,
mm-hmm.
and those things were great for like 3 or 4 years,
mm-hmm.
and then you started picking up, like I lived in an apartment and I could pick up like my neighbor talking to her boyfriend,
right,
which was the best free but so then the solution was, oh, well, now we're going to go to 900 megahertz. So they're, you know, going to jump up to a higher frequency because there's less people on it. And then everybody got on the 900 megahertz bandwidth and they went, okay, well, now we're going digital. And then everybody got on that. And so you're basically just cramming people into this limited amount of bandwidth, or if you want to think about it, highway lanes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the first adopters usually enjoy some freedom for a while. You're in your case, if and when you go to Wi-Fi 6, you will have the advantage of both a digital signal and a stronger signal. So having kind of a polluted spectrum isn't going to be as big of a factor as it was in the older generation of tech.
And I will tell you that we will have those results for you by the next time we podcast.
And by the way, have you bought it yet?
I am going to purchase it today.
Don't.
Oh, really?
Well, there's just a brand new one that just came out this week that we need to talk before you pull the trigger.
Okay. All right. We'll see. And let me tell you, this is something that we've talked about on prior podcasts too, with technology, how quickly things change.
Yeah.
I mean, they change so fast in the tech world.
Well, everybody's rushing to market right now to get their first Wi-Fi 6 routers out. And that's right. Part of it is, you know, new stuff's coming out every week. But there's some the one you were going to get was definitely mm-hmm. going to be one we're going to end up recommending on the website, it will do great. There's just another one I think you ought to consider.
Yeah,
slightly better.
Okay. And here's the deal, guys. I'm going to throw this brand out there. I think that I think that they're a great brand. Comes recommended by my son who is a software engineer, a gamer, and Keith, who has been preaching to me for the last 6 months.
I told you so.
Right. See, I deserve that one. He's been on my case about changing over, but it was kind of a let's wait and see what happens, because we had both discussed this and you were telling me, hey, let's just kind of be patient. Let's see what happens. And here we are. So Netgear is going to be your go-to, I think. But do your homework.
The Nighthawk.
That's right. They also have, you know, the mesh versions, the Orbeez that are available to people that are not doing what we are doing.
I like the Linksys Velop over the Orbeez. Now, Orbeez is made by Netgear. Linksys mm-hmm. makes the Velop. And I have had better results with the Velop than the Orbeez. Now, right. Your mileage may vary, but if you're between those two, now that's a mesh system. We need to take a step back and say, if you got a big house or a big space and you need to try to cover lots of it with one mm-hmm. ISP, you go with mm-hmm. the mesh network.
Right. I had read some of the technical specifications on the Nighthawk, though. I think that the coverage is somewhere around 7,500 to 8,000 square feet.
With the new Wi-Fi 6, yes.
With the new Wi-Fi 6.
It's insane. Yeah.
Which is insane. I mean, and gosh, man, I don't have that square footage. I can only imagine. My neighbors may be mad at
me.
Well,
and the interesting thing about this, and we haven't mentioned this. This is not an I told you so, but it's something Jay and I have talked about a lot off the air, is mm-hmm. with this new, okay, so 5G cellular, and then this new right. Wi-Fi 6 for home Wi-Fi, they're doing something similar to both. And so, okay, everybody, so AM radio, everybody familiar with AM radio, right? FM radio, much higher frequency, okay? AM, if you've ever listened to AM radio, it's kind of crackly and distorted. But, like, you know, my mom could pick up Nashville WSM AM radio, like, in central Missouri.
Right.
From Nashville, Tennessee.
Right.
Okay. So AM travels a lot farther because it's a, now we're getting into like physics, but the sine waves are, it's a lower frequency.
Mm-hmm.
The waves are bigger.
Right.
They travel over obstacles and terrain better.
There is a reason that antenna is extremely tall.
Okay. But the trade-off has always been sound quality, right? So mm-hmm. FM sounds so much better compared to AM. So here's mm-hmm. the interesting thing is with this 5G network, mobile network, and with Wi-Fi 6, they're going back to a lower frequency. They're not going up and up and up and up as the game has been the past couple decades. Now they're jumping down to a lower. They still have antennas in them that do the high frequency, but they've also got one that does a low frequency. And the thing mm-hmm. that I cannot figure out is how they are handling the signal quality issues of those lower frequencies. And we're on that. I'll figure it out. But
yeah, that's a good follow-up on another podcast. So we'll make note of that. People make note of that in this podcast. We'll come back around and revisit that and stay on top of the changes coming, because you're going to need to change at some point. Everybody that's listening right now, I'm telling you that if you have what they call the old Wi-Fi 5 type routers.
N, A, B, G, N. Yeah.
Right.
Your days
you're
are
going
numbered.
To, your days are numbered, especially with the number of devices around you that are going on. And that's all it takes is you being in an area that, that, look, if you're out in the country somewhere, man, and you don't have a soul around you, you could probably limp along for a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
But as you get into more densely populated areas, it's almost impossible. You have too much competition going on with the frequencies and the channels, and it's just, it's crazy. And that's what I'm experiencing at the moment. And, I am going to remedy that. So we'll do a little on live product review once
yeah,
I get
that'd be great.
Get my new router set up. So
and so hey, so while we're gonna put a couple links to these on the website.
Yeah.
While we're talking about product linking and ways to you can support the show, because we would greatly appreciate that.
Yeah.
Do we want to go into a little bit of you know, like obviously go to the partscounterguru.com, click on the Amazon link before you do your Amazon shopping. Doesn't cost you any more to do that, but we get a little bit of a affiliate credit for a very short amount of time for what you buy. So you have to
That's
go back
right.
and do that every time that you buy something. But and it's anonymous; we don't know who's mm-hmm. buying what. But we've got a product sponsor. We've got something cool that Jay stumbled on here that we want to talk to everybody about. Do you want to go ahead and?
Yeah, sure. Just you know, we're you know, we know that everybody's very busy these days. Most of us spend a lot of our lives in our cars. And I think that this is a cutting edge technology that's really going to kind of give you a little bit of a happy feeling, you know, maybe throughout the day, you know, because you do need to have a little extra sun in your life, especially, you know, let's say you work a night shift even.
Or you've got like our listeners in Alaska, right, that don't get sun all the time.
That don't get sun 6 months out of the year. That's right. They're in darkness 6 months out of the year.
I mean, that's practically you right now. You're almost to Alaska, right? I mean.
Pretty close. I mean, we're getting dark at, 4:30 in the afternoon, 4 in the afternoon, and we're actually going back up now because we're beyond the solstice. So we're going to be getting, our days are getting longer now, but yet. It kind of gets to you, but I can't imagine living up there. But anyway, yeah, so Incartan is a solution for that. You know, while you're driving, it is a product that will help you maintain that golden glow that we all like to have it. I mean, you see it, you know, you kind of wonder what the movie stars are doing. This is it, guys. This is the answer. This is how they're able to work. Continue to drive to work, and you know you wonder, God, this guy must be on vacation all the time. He's so tan. Well, this is how they're doing it.
And I've seen it. I've checked it out. The it's completely safe, and so no distraction issues when operating a motor vehicle. They've thought through all of that. It's a really well thought out product. Mm-hmm. We are thrilled to kind of be on the ground floor of partnering with these guys. And
that's right.
It's just that, you know what? It fills a niche that, like you said, I mean, I think people need, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, your days are growing shorter of your ability to be able to get out and actually take some time off to lay out in the sun or you know, get a tan. Yeah, so
especially if you work in Silicon Valley, right? Where you're going home at 10 p.m.
Exactly. So there you have it, guys. Incartan, give it a try.
We'll put a link up. Yep. So you can go to our website to find out more about this and put your order in. Just go to partscounterguru.com/ Incartan. Yep. All one word, Incartan. partscounterguru.com/incartan and you can put your order in. You can find out more about the product. You can you know, while you're there, if you want to click on over to the Ask Us a Question page, there's a tab up for that. You can drop us a note. Be great.
There you go. So we want a couple other items that we want to talk about.
We've got a
little bit more time that we can spend on some things. Let's see down the list here. I've done a couple of these things. So
well, this one we can kind of gloss over quickly because we're not done with it and it's going to come up again.
Oh, for sure.
And that is
I think
the
I know
Bronco,
where you're going.
Right.
Oh yeah.
So
absolutely.
We did a when haven't we talked about? We talk about the Bronco as much as we talk about Tesla, but. Episode 33. I'm trusting Jay on this, guys. Like he's done all the research. He's sorted out the episode numbers and listened through them. Episode 33, we talked about five things that Ford needs to get right with the Bronco.
Mm-hmm.
That was, what would we guess?
October.
Like, yeah, okay. In the fall.
I think it was in the fall, okay. Early fall, yeah.
Then in October 8th, Ford confirms that they're doing it, right?
Well, no. Yes, October 8th. Ford officially confirmed it. And that was what kind of threw us for a loop, because we were at SEMA and we saw all of these vintage Broncos restored. If you go to our YouTube channel, you'll find the Jay Leno Bronco reveal, which is an exciting story. We filmed that live. It's a great little piece that we did. Keith was probably, 5 feet away from Jay Leno during that whole
thing. I could practically smell the cologne and
right.
Aftershave, yeah.
So Ford officially confirms it'll debut in spring of 2020, so we're pretty excited about that. But what we've also learned is that a smaller Bronco Sport, or what they call the baby Bronco, is also coming in 2020. This ought to be interesting.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see how many of those things we said they needed to do they're going to actually do.
Right. So that'll be a whole other episode.
We'll go 6 months or a year down from there and look at how the sales are based on whether they did those things or not, because there's mm-hmm. another opportunity for an I told you so, right?
That's right.
So,
yeah.
And then kind of along the same lines, you know, we had the whole Cybertruck thing that came out and mm-hmm. the Rivian thing with the camper truck and Ford having investment ties to Rivian and all of that, right?
Well, if you go back to episode 23, and there's an earlier episode where we mentioned it early on that Ford had, it was part of our news story that Ford had invested, you know, billions of dollars into Rivian. And my point on that was I felt like Ford was doing this to kind of increase the speed in which they approach the electric vehicle market. And, well, what do we have since then? The Mach-E has been revealed. And my understanding, the Ford F-150 is in the works. The electric, all-electric F-150
Ford,
is in the works.
Ford tweeted for sure and probably mm-hmm. – actually, it's in their press room. I've seen it on their website. They mm-hmm. have pictures of the electric F-150 because there was that whole stunt of it pulling like a train
the Cyber. Well, that one, yes.
That's
and then
the
Cyber Truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the electric version. Yes.
So,
I forget how many pounds it was. It was just a ton
of
pounds.
It was insane, right?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. But, you know, the thing that we kept talking about, that technology, the partnership that Rivian had with Ford. But for the partnership allows Rivian to continue to get their product to market. And in episode 23, we talked about some of the things that they were doing right, like reaching out to the Overland crowd, the camping version of that, which was incredible. And then, and we've been saying it, Rivian's doing it right. We told you this, man, that they're going to come to the market and they're going to be just awesome. They come up with tank mode.
Right.
Remember, I mean, it's just...
If you haven't seen this, let me try to... I will attempt to explain to people what this is. So if you're just listening to the podcast, thank you. Know mm-hmm. that we have a YouTube channel, and you can actually watch the podcast on YouTube. And you'll get a little bit more... It's a little bit more entertaining. We'll put up like graphics and stuff and links and things on the screen. And mm-hmm. you get to sort of watch me like fall over in my chair and stuff while Jay's talking. But and while you're at YouTube, please, by the way, go ahead and hit the subscribe button, ring the bell, leave a comment, tell us what you'd like to see. We would appreciate all of those things. Tank mode, okay?
Really
if you
cool.
Think about
really cool stuff.
A zero turn lawnmower or tank or an automobile. Basically, and my son actually got for Christmas one of these, what are they called? It's a bug. It's an electronic bug. It's a little toy, nanobugs. I could go grab one and be right back in 10 seconds, but,
right.
They're tiny bugs and they've got electronics in them And some of them are remote controlled, and some of them are sound controlled, and some of them, they'll run into walls and they'll bounce around. And the one that we were playing with last night, it's a fire ant, and it has it has wheels and tank treads on both sides, and it has a zero turn. So what you do is you push the right wheels forward, and you push the left side or the driver's side wheels backward. And what that does is it makes the thing turn bang. Like, it literally, if you're looking at the top, turns where the center of the vehicle is the turning point.
That's
And you accomplish that by having one side of the vehicle move the wheels in one direction, and the other side of the vehicle moves the wheels in the opposing direction. That's tank mode.
That's tank mode. It's really cool. And they achieve this by four separate motors on this thing that are independent of each other. And in tank mode, like you just described it, the right side is going forward and the left side is in reverse all at the same time, causing this thing. And they had it. They released a video on it, and it's just sitting there. You know, if you like to burn donuts, man.
So what did I say? What did I say? Yeah. We were texting and we were talking about this video, and I said it's going to be great until some jackass goes out in a Dunkin' Donuts parking lot with this thing and starts burning donuts, right?
Right.
Like literally, not, you know, Dunkin' Donuts.
Not like the donut, but
And then they'll have to shut it off for everybody, right? So
But why this is important for Rivian and their vehicle is because they're going to be the first, I think, to the market with this thing. But not only that, it's great for the overlander, for the camper.
Yeah.
Because you can get
into
some
tight
really
spaces.
Tight places, man, and that's what you want to do with a vehicle like that. So it'll be interesting to see how well this sells and how far they get with it. And we'll come back and revisit this one.
Yes, so. I cannot wait. Anything Rivian is just, you know, they're a good company to follow, and they're kind of down the road from you, and they're really pushing the envelope on the truck side, kind of like, you know, Tesla has been on the sedan side. So yeah, good to follow. And by the way, those are called Hex Bugs. I couldn't think of the name.
Hex Bugs.
Yeah,
okay.
They're
all
kids'
right.
toys.
Yeah, we'll put a link on our website over to
for
Amazon.
For Hex Bugs. Yeah.
For Hex Bugs.
Well, they are pretty cool.
Why not?
So
why not?
So speaking of donuts in the parking lot and self-control and work ethic and, you know, all of these things that get some people in trouble. Let's talk just for a minute. Okay, so I have this vision in my head, Jay, of sort of advice for our listeners and viewers for 2020. And I think it all revolves around work ethic. I really do. Okay?
Okay.
And and I think that so many problems that we all experience in our day-to-day lives can be solved by good work ethic. For example, that guy rotating my tires that jacked up the wheel. Like, that's, you know, mistakes happen, but how you handle them and how you approach your responsibilities are in your control. You have some experiences over the holidays that sort of revolve around work ethic. Do you want to go into a little bit of that? Now, remember, the Marlin podcast has not aired yet. So
that's right.
Okay.
So I'm very aware of that. But let's I don't know. I just want to look at and say to you, United States Postal Service, you guys had an opportunity to really make me happy, to get a package in a reasonable amount of time. I understand it's the holidays, but this was an issue for me. I couldn't file a claim because it was X number of days into it. Then when I could file the claim for my lost package that was basically going from here down to California, instead of going to California, they ship it to Chicago. So, yeah, to their international terminal. So a package that was supposed to make it within 5 days, which is a reasonable amount of time, I would think, going from the Pacific Northwest down to the southwest coast of California, it could have made it. But instead, I tracked. Nobody could give me an answer as to where it was. It never made it. I finally decided to go UPS instead. And I shipped it. And I get a phone call. Hey, man, thanks for the hats. I said, did that come in the mail? Or did it come UPS? Oh, it came in the mail. Oh, great. So now I'm out. Yeah. So I send all these hats.
So
all these freight charges.
I want to go ahead and say we had a celebrity guest on a podcast that we have recorded but not aired yet. And it's a friend of Jay's. And Jay said, hey, man, I'll send you a couple Parts Counter Gurus hats.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? And hilarity ensues right now. Yeah, did Marlon get at least some international stamps on the hat package that he could, like, you know, my hat's been around the world? Or
no, it's like it just showed up. It was probably sitting in the back of a van somewhere, man, you know, in Chicago. And somebody went, oh, oops. You know, and it finally, or it fell off a conveyor belt somewhere, a mail separator. Who knows?
It blows my mind. To solve some of these is going back to podcast 31. I hate my job. Jay said it at the beginning of this podcast. Then go find something you like to do, man. Don't keep doing the same job, showing up for a paycheck, because the rest of us suffer. And you know who ultimately suffers is. You get crappy product out there because you get stuff where you're like, wow, this is, you know, who put this together kind of thing, you know? And
yeah,
nobody wants that. Just if it's worth doing. I mean, okay. I mean, do we really need to do story time with Grandpa Keith on this one? Look, if it's worth your time, it is worth doing right. If you take the attitude that I'm going to phone it in, screw it, just do it, whatever, however, get it done.
Yeah.
You really don't even have enough self-respect for yourself. You're putting your name and your brand on that, and ultimately, it will come back to you in some way. You may think they'll never know, or they'll never find me, or I'll be long gone. If I buy it, I'll find you. But
well, just the whole experience of trying.
It all comes back around. Why don't people get that?
It does. Well, it didn't stop there with the package being, you know, lost. It the work ethic, even at the local post office, to try to talk to somebody about how do I, you know, can you tell me, you know, well, all I know is, you know, all I can tell you is that this is where it went, and you know,
yeah,
I don't know, I don't know why it went there.
Right?
And you're just going to have to go to the website and file the claim. And I'm like, okay, so I tried to do that.
Yeah.
In the middle of building my account to file the claim, it crashed.
Yeah, that figures.
And I couldn't get back in. And fortunately for me, a day later, after being frustrated to no end, 2 weeks, people, 2 weeks to get to the location, I could have driven it down there, stayed a week, and came back in that amount of time.
So
gotten a tan.
True. So
with my in-car tan.
In both directions of the trip, I might add. So so this is my okay, everybody. Here's how we're gonna solve this together, because I'm quite certain that our listeners are more on the side of the good work ethic and probably taking pride in what they're doing. Okay, everybody, so here's how we solve this together. We can make a difference. Look, if we learn nothing else from the 80s documentary Knight Rider, we learned that one man can make a difference, okay?
Oh, absolutely, man.
Okay, here's how we do this together. I hate to encourage people to look in the negative direction or to look to the past, but I will say this. Just stop. Vote with your dollars and stop giving money to companies that suck. It's just that simple. And look,
absolutely,
you can make the argument that, you know, look, Grandpa Keith, I know that what you're saying, but you know, that stuff is way cheaper over here at Company B that doesn't give a crap than it is over here at Company A. And I would argue with you that this is how Apple has made it to where they are today. Whether you like them or hate them, Apple made a concerted effort to do the right thing, to do a good job, and to deliver quality product. And they didn't always hit that mark, but they made an effort to do it. And their competitors were sort of good with status quo. And everybody laughed at Apple as the little company that was going out of business soon. And those Apple fanboys are, look at them, ha-ha, and now look, right?
That's right.
And the reason for that is because it was a better quality product. And if it wasn't a better quality product, it at least gave the impression that it was, and that was enough. So, moving in the positive direction, vote with your dollars, put your money in. If somebody's doing it better, be a customer of them.
There you go.
We talked
That's a
about
great
brand
message.
Loyalty, right? We talked about
we did.
You know, my family's lifetime Ford, and then the other side of the family is lifetime Chevy, and you guys just keep going back and buying it, even if it's a turd on a stick this year. Stop doing that.
Right.
Vote with your dollars. Go get the one that's built right.
That's right. And then also stand up for yourself. That's your right as a consumer. You know, this nonsense that you don't have any recourse, that's a load. You do have recourse, and if you're persistent and you're patient, it'll come to you. I have filed this claim to at least get some money back, even though the package has been delivered.
Bog down the system, make it so they hate dealing with you. I mean, nobody likes to be that guy that is a problem, and you can do it politely, but don't go away until they deal with it.
They cost me money because I had to ship more, which is no problem. It's, okay.
It ultimately comes down to the value of your time, which is the most...
It's true.
This is the most valuable commodity that we all have, right? So, yeah.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, hey, guys, we, we're no prophets or anything like that, but, we told you so. There you go,
Here, I'll give you Bert one more time.
I hate to say I told you so.
I love it, man. I'm gonna watch The Bandit tonight, man.
Well, I mean, come on, man. What better storyline is there than smuggling beer across the, the Mississippi because it's, unavailable in this side of the country? And
that's right.
I mean, that's a public service, really, when you think about it.
It is. It's great. So, do you have anything else you want to add to all of this?
I think I'm good with the. I think I'm good with the taunting at least for this episode. I would just ask. There's a couple, three things, and if you want to do the social stuff here in just a second, I'm gonna.
Sure.
I'm going to tell everybody to make sure that you're go to our website, partscounterguru.com, click on the Amazon banner, do your Amazon shopping there. That will help support the show. We are growing. We're looking at numbers of increased viewership and increased listeners, and that's all great, and it's going in a great direction, and we really appreciate that. Thank you to each and every one of you for being a subscriber, being a follower, telling your friends about it. Now, the sort of the good problem that we have is bandwidth, and we've got to kind of deal with essentially paying for the production of the show, and an easy way to help us with that is to just go buy whatever you're going to buy on Amazon and click through our site first. And look, tell a friend, please. I mean, that's probably all of this stuff helps, but telling a friend is probably the single best thing you can do to help us.
Oh, absolutely. And we are... also looking for sponsors. If you are interested in sponsoring some of our podcasts, man, please, you reach out to us. We have a link on our website for you to become a sponsor.
Especially if you're a distillery or a beer company, because I think I'm going to speak for both of us here, but we both like free beer.
We do kind of like that stuff. Yeah. So, but, back over to how you can, take a look at what we're doing and kind of keep in tune with what we're doing. And by the way, guys, and again, I'll echo this. We really do appreciate the support in the last year. It's been great. It's allowed us to kind of open up and bring in some guests. We've got some exciting things coming down the pike this year. We're really excited about that. We're going to be bringing you more exciting things to be talking about things and bringing things to your attention. But to follow us, we'd love to have you follow us on Facebook, which we mentioned earlier, but we'll mention again. It's on facebook.com/partscounterGurus. You can follow us on Instagram which is instagram.com/theparts county gurus. Check us out at partscountofguru.com. We have a podcast link tab up there that will get you on every platform that we podcast on. The only video, this is something new for us, the only video version of our podcast is available over on our YouTube channel. Please, when you get there, subscribe and ring the bell and give us a thumbs up. All of those things will let you know when a new episode comes out or a new video comes out, and we plan on having a lot of that available to you this year. So keep in tune with us.
Leave us a comment if there's things you want to see, if there's things you want to see more of, if there's things you want us to look into, if there's things you don't like.
Right. Hey, we'll take it.
You know?
We'll take it on the chin. Yeah, that's okay.
You know, I mean, hey, that intern's got to read something, right?
Right.
No, I'm kidding.
If you want,
totally kidding.
Yeah, if you want your company to be tagged and promoted on our podcast, we can, you know, just contact us and we'll give you an address to send your hats to us, shirts, product. If you want product to be reviewed,
partscounterguru.com. Ask us a question tab is the best way to do that.
That is correct. So there you have it. So, and on that note, man.
All right. Yeah. Well, okay. So as the first podcast of the new year comes to an end, I want to wish everybody, including you, Jay, I hope that this year is better for you than the last. You know, I'm a fan of sports, and one of my favorite sayings is to beat yesterday. And I hope that applies to your life in general in the new year, that it's better than last year. I want to thank everybody. We probably don't say this enough, but thank you guys for watching, for subscribing, for telling friends. We really appreciate each and every one of you doing that. And just know that we are paying attention when you post your comments, when you message us, when you give us thumbs up. All of that stuff matters. So thank you for doing that. Jay, thank you for doing what you do.
You as well, man. The world's a better place with you in it, man.
Thanks,
there you
buddy.
Go. So, uh-oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right, I love you, man. Until
you
next
too, brother.
Time, thanks again, everybody, for watching and listening. Remember to say your prayers and take your vitamins. I don't even remember how this stuff works anymore.